if you really want a future with this company, like really tell me what you see yourself becoming. I see myself being kind of marketing, outreach, face of the company. He's like, okay, so what's the title for that? I'm like, CEO, because that's just what you say to the person who's hiring you to contract.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So exciting. And I have Lexi in the Kia with me. This Kia, how much are you loving the cooled seats?
Oh my God. I've never had this before. This is awesome.
Right? It's amazing. It's been so comfortable to drive cross country and visit with you guys state to state. Now tell us, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your company and then also how you used to live in Los Angeles and you moved to Albuquerque. It was so interesting. So yeah.
It's a fun story. Okay.
All of it. Yeah.
Everything.
Start with your name.
Okay. My name, number one, is Lexi Palmer. I run a company. I'm the CEO of a company called Equiseek, and we do genetic testing for horses to improve breeding. That's kind of, there's a couple different phases. That's where we're at right now. So we're basically saving horse owners hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we're trying to breed out diseases that are killing the horses that we love.
This is insane. First of all, can you spell it out for everybody? Because I think it might be hard. Like, what's the URL so they could check it out?
www.equiseq.com.
So perfect.
It's short for equine sequencing.
Awesome. And now I want to find out how you got into that, but let's start kind of in your personal side. We're sitting in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where you live right now, but you actually started in Los Angeles and you had some very personal goals you wanted to achieve, which is why you chose Albuquerque.
Yes. So I born and raised in LA. So of course, the first question everyone asks here is, why did you leave the beach?
Like, right.
Especially South Bay, you're from Santa Monica. Right. Like, how could you have left that and come to the desert?
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was in high school, I really wanted to travel. I'm super stubborn, right?
Yeah.
So my mom had actually done work out here. She said, there's really good discounts on school. You can get this scholarship. You know, check out New Mexico. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a new place. And right. I have no family here.
Right.
I didn't know anybody. I was like, well, you know, it's a free, my mom said, if you get into the University of New Mexico and New Mexico State, we will take a trip out there.
Right.
Like, I'll take a trip literally anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So I applied and I got in. And I actually came in. It's a really crazy story. So I came out here in February.
Yeah.
Which we get all four seasons, which is incredible, which obviously, you know, California is like 75 and sunny besides the heat wave last week.
Right.
But, so I came out in February and everything was cold and all the trees were dead. And I was like, I will never, ever come back here. Oh my God, this place sucks.
Yeah.
And I got into Sonoma State as well.
Right.
So I, which you're not supposed to do, I accepted both schools.
Right.
And then I had this crazy dream, and I kid you not, in the dream, I regretted staying in California. And in the dream Lexi was like, you got to go do something completely new. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually went by Alex when I was back in California. I was like, I'm going to a new state, you know, took my acceptance out of Sonoma, decided I'm going to UNM, changing my nickname. Like, I'm just going to do this. And I've been out here since I was 17.
Did you say changing your nickname?
Yeah.
So, your nickname was
it's
Alec?
Yeah. No. My full name is Alexandra. So I went by Alex all through high school. And I was just, for some reason, I was like, people kept thinking I was a boy. And I was just getting so sick of it. I was like, I really want to just start over and like really make a name for myself. Really
right.
Prove that I can travel. I can do everything and I can do it on my own.
Right,
so
right.
Just went like, took everything back in California, left in California and just restarted out here.
And wait, but how is Lexi a short thing of Alexandra?
Yeah.
I never heard. I guess I never thought of it. It's not something I think about often, but that's why it's to me, Alec. So was it Alec or Alex?
Alex.
So Alex and Lexi are like polar opposites to me.
And that's the cool thing is I was like, you know, through high school, you know, you don't really get to choose who you are because you have the same friends, you're in the same area.
Right.
Everyone knows you and expects you certain things. So it's harder to kind of break out of that thing. And so my stereotype when I was in California was like, oh, she's kind of a ditz. She, you know, I was really into horses. I've always loved horses. So I like, you know, they're like, gosh, she's not very smart. She's kind of whatever. She doesn't really have anything, you know, she's just kind of going through the motions. And I was just really sick of that. And that's not who I wanted to be. So I basically sat down and said, okay, like, what do I want to be? You know, who do I want to be as a person? What do I want to do with my life? And I was like, I really want to do something that's inspirational.
Right.
But you can't really, it's hard to fall into that.
Right,
you
right.
know, like, or you can't go to school to inspire people. That's,
right, right.
That's not amazing. Yeah. It's not a thing. So I was like, all right, like, Lexi has more of a punch and I'm just going to go for it. Seems like it's a lot sassier. I can be more open. So I really just went with it.
I mean, I love the name Lexi, and you make a lot of choices, and I think this is, well, we all make a lot of choices, but you make a lot of choices to have the most fulfilling personal life is what I was trying to say, and I think that that's important to share, because I think sometimes in the world, we feel like someone else is choosing for us, and we don't have a choice, so tell me more about this love that you have for traveling, and how you've built your life around that.
Oh, man, so... My mom, if she's listening to this ever, she's just going to be shaking her head because we've had this conversation so many times. So I've loved traveling. A couple years ago, I didn't tell my parents, but I did a solo trip around Europe for a month, which was it was just the coolest thing in the world to be able to do that. I mean, that was such a lucky opportunity. But on that trip, it really just made me realize that, you know, you go to these new places, but you're not only falling in love with these places, you're learning things about yourself.
Right, right.
You're meeting these people who are showing you things about yourself and about them. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just so cool to be able to experience that and see all that. And so what I realized is whatever job I have to work this in. There has to be traveling. There has to be interacting with people. And I have to continue growing and being this happy all the time. My mom's
like, that's so cool.
It's awesome. She's like, that's not a thing. You can't do that. You have to, you know, when you're younger, you have to work up to that. It's like,
and
no,
you're
you
like,
don't.
No, you don't. No. Yeah, no, I'm the same way. So I've traveled the first time I went a 4-month trip throughout Europe without a computer or phone. And second time I just got back at the end of March, I went for 5 months, but I took a computer. I went mainly Scandinavia and went to like the Baltic states, like Estonia and Latvia.
God, I'm so jealous.
But a lot of people say that too. They're like, how do you do that? I'm like, I just figure. I mean, look, I'm sitting in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now.
Yeah.
I love podcasting. I've been a girl in tech now, woman in tech, whatever.
Yeah.
Like since my dad got me a Nintendo, you know, and, you know, and now I'm sitting here with you in Albuquerque, New Mexico on a road trip, you know, thanks to like Kia providing this car.
Awesome.
Because,
cool seats.
Because my passion is backpacking and traveling and also technology and podcasting. And it's like, how do I create a world that caters to what my interests are?
Exactly. And it's so funny because on that trip, I had the same thing. I had, I had $1,000 to spend that month, like out of plane tickets. And so at first you know, we're so scared and we're taught to just do things the way they've always been done.
Yeah.
And then when you do something like that, where you have two options, you can either get through it or die.
Yeah.
You're not going to die.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't have money. You're in a place you don't know. What are you going to do? Just sit there and be like, okay, well, all right, someone come take me. You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize that there's seriously nothing stopping you.
Yeah.
And my, you know, with Equiseek, my background's in communications and art. Like, because I was told for so many years, well, you're not smart enough. So it just took that switch of mentality of like, oh, actually, I can do whatever I really want to do.
Yeah.
I just have to do it. And that mentality has made just a huge difference in everything.
One thing that I hear a lot, and I bet you hear this too, and then I want to get into your love for horses and your background. But one thing that a lot of people tell me is they're like, oh, good that you got that in. Like, as though it's the last time. How many times have you got that?
Oh my gosh, all the time. Just really relish this time, because one day you're going to have to. My favorite thing is to settle down. I hate the word settle.
Settle down. Yeah.
Settle. Like, even if I decide to stay in one place for a while, which I think that's such a waste of a life to just stay in one area when you have this entire world. And when one day you'll have to settle down. Like, no, I might stay in one spot, but I'm never going to settle or stop working towards something.
Totally. So let's talk about not settling, but talking about the city of Albuquerque and then also talking about horses. So how is the startup scene in the city of Albuquerque? Do you have a good support system here?
It's growing. So, I mean, everywhere you go, there's going to be stresses and there's going to be issues. And so I, that's the same for anything and anybody. But the community here and the people who are here are just such incredible hard workers. I mean, we have honestly, coming from LA, some of the nicest people. I was telling you guys, like, your host is incredible. People here just want to see Albuquerque succeed. And it's a really,
that's cool.
It's awesome. It's a really exciting time because we've sort of come to the realization that, like, okay, we're not where we want to be. Yeah. So how are we going to get better? So we're in that transition right now.
Right.
So we're not as great as we could be, but that means that everyone here now gets to have a voice and gets to watch it and help it grow, which I love.
Yeah.
I love having an opinion.
I feel that that's kind of, I mean, I know LA is further along. LA is the top third startup city, but like, I still feel it's the same where you're part of something at the beginning and you could really make yourself be known with it and have an impact on how it's going to flow in the future.
Well, it's so cool too. I mean, the founder of EquiSeek and I and our team, we always talk about how neither one of us would have had the opportunity in a bigger city. So, and one of the choices I made was, okay, I can go back to LA after school's over and fight for a job that, you know, against a bunch of other overqualified people that none of us really want. Or I can stay here where there's all this opportunity. And when I was out here, there weren't a lot of millennials and I didn't know about the entrepreneurial community, so it's really just starting to gain traction. It's like, why would I go back there when I can be part of something incredible and be part of this history?
Totally. So tell me, horses, how did you even get into it? I mean, it seems daunting to me. I can't. Genetics, like the whole thing. Do you have a science background? Like,
I took a marine bio honors class in my sophomore year of high school. And
okay, that totally didn't count.
Yeah, no, it's like that didn't even come close to checking the box. Didn't even check the piece of paper with the box.
Yeah.
My mom rode horses when she was a kid. Every kid wants a pony at some point. But my mom with the background basically was like, all right, if you want to do this, we're going to do this the very safe way. So I was riding this horse that we found in a backyard for a while, fell in love with it. My entire high school, I was on the equestrian team, which is like a weird California thing, I guess. So I showed horses. I helped with all pony camps. So I worked with kids.
Right.
Then I worked with the trainer. And I loved speaking. So I worked doing manual labor to kind of put in my time to then be an announcer for the horse show.
Right.
And then I helped organize. So I've been on kind of all different sides of the horse industry.
Right.
Loved it. Decided, though, when I went to college, I wanted to be in the college atmosphere and just kind of be a normal human because I had been doing that all through high school.
Right.
Never really got out. Obviously, I can't afford to ride yet again. So I've just been out here hanging out. I was looking. I just come out of, basically, I was in my last full year of college and realized, all right, I really want to do my own thing. And everybody, the friend system I had in college wasn't super supportive. So I had just gone through a huge falling out. So like the family I'd built over a couple of years in Albuquerque was then quickly removed as like they did not support me and I was going in a different direction. So I basically was at this point in Albuquerque, like, all right, I don't really have anywhere to turn back to because I kind of cut that off. So really the only thing I can do is move forward and just go for this. So I worked three jobs for a summer trying to save up money. And I was in a 9-to-5 that I just hated.
Right.
Like I could not stand it. It was like anything will be better than this. Like even if I work a million hours a week, I don't care. So I was in that transition period. I had just purchased my first LLC And I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Right.
And so I was networking with people and my card said, so I wrote for Elite Daily for a little bit. So I was like,
oh, that's cool.
It's a really, really cool blog. Yeah. So I got some pieces in there. I was like, all right, I can totally, that's totally enough street cred to say I'm a writer. Like, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm a writer. And then I was volunteering in the school system. I'm really passionate about inspiring kids. So I created a curriculum and was speaking to them. So I was like, yeah, I'm a speaker. Okay, I'm also a motivational speaker. I get really excited when I talk about that. I was like, I think I've done some marketing and people like social media. Yeah, I know how to do that.
Right.
Okay, throw that on the card. So my car involved a lot of picking people up and driving. So I had my, the company that I worked for, business cards in one pocket, my personal ones in the other.
Right.
And I'm like handing these out to everybody. Right. Like, oh my gosh, you work for an acupuncture place. That's great. Petrified in needles, but I'll learn your stuff and then I'll market it and I'll get people into the door. I'll sell it.
And did you do that?
Well, I was giving out cards, just trying to like sell any type of service to anybody who would pay me to do whatever. I was like, you want me to wash your car? Sure. And so I ended up coming across Paul at this really cool networking event in Albuquerque. It's all over the world. Right. 1 million cups.
Oh, 1 million cups. Yeah. Yes. We have one in Irvine.
Oh yeah. They have them all over. So on one of these excursions, a guy goes, Stacy Sacco is really well known here too. He goes, have you ever heard of 1 million cups? I'm like, no, I haven't. He goes, Wednesday, 9 a.m., here's the address, go. So I call in sick to work like a good employee, because obviously, and I show up, and I meet this guy, Paul, and he hands me his business card, and I see a horse on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, okay, yes, what do you do with horses? I know a bunch of people in California, I've worked on every aspect of the horse industry. Hire me to do whatever it is that you do, and I'll sell it, or market it, or talk about it, or write about it.
Wow.
And so he goes, that's really interesting. We're actually looking for someone who knows horses. I'm like, yes, this is my opportunity. Like, whatever he asks, just say yes.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Like, what do you know about bioinformatics? And I was like, absolutely nothing, but I will learn. He's like, it can't be that hard, right? It's just facts. And so he's like, okay, like, let's meet next week and we'll talk about a contract. I was like, oh my God, I did it.
No.
So I call my parents. And I'm like, oh my God, I got this contract. And the first thing they say, they're like, you don't know anything about science. Like, what does the company do? I'm like, something genetic testing, but horses. So I'll sell it. I'll figure it out. So we meet the first couple times and, he's like, all right, you know, here's some books for you. So I start reading these, you know, bioinformatics, genetics, genomics books. I'm like, okay, I might be a little in over my head, but like, I can do this. Like, it's just like everything can be broken down into simple words and facts. So thankfully, Paul was an old teacher. So he started having me come in. So my last semester of school, I was taking 18 credit hours and I was also getting a crash course in genetics.
Right.
Which was great. I was like, all right, I got this. Like, it's fine. So then a couple weeks later, he's like, all right, well, let's talk about your position with EquiSeq. What do you want your title to be? Your name will make you business cards. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Right.
Like, act cool. Like, don't blow this, Lexi.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, you know, maybe marketing or outreach. He's like, look, it's just me and the company. Like, if you really want a future with this company, like, really tell me what you see yourself becoming.
Right.
And EquiSeq is like, well, I'm the horse person. You need to be a horse person to talk to horse people. They're mainly females. Like, I see myself being kind of marketing, outreach, face of the company. He's like, okay, so what's the title for that? I'm like, director of marketing. He's like, no, face of the company, outreach, it's more than just marketing. And so, you know, I go CEO, because that's just what you say to the person who's hiring you to contract, right?
What?
And so it turns out it was a very serendipitous experience, but he has two companies and basically their investors looking in the other one, they said, you can't be CEO of two companies. And he realized that to have a horse genetic testing company, you have to be a horse person. You have to be female. It's like Harley Davidson. You want to look like your customers. So basically he said,
I'm dying right now.
No, it really is. I mean, I kid you not. This is how it happened. So, and this whole time, there's a really funny story after this. This whole time, my parents are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're in way over your head.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're not going to be able to do this. So I don't tell him any of this. So he basically says, look, you know, we don't have any money. We wouldn't be able to pay a qualified CEO. You want a story. You want an opportunity. Basically, the only way that this will fail is if you give up. Like, you can take it and run with it. I'm with you 100%.
Right.
I want to focus on the science. You just basically take over the overseeing everything. And until, you know, we get to a point where we find new CEO, I'm like,
right.
Yeah. You know, he's like, are you sure this is what you want? I'm like, I was ready for this month. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, of course. In the back of my head, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? So I took, you know, signed up for business class. So it was like, I guess I'm learning how to run a business. Right. And basically have been going ever since. But the great part is, so I told him, like, he goes, you know, just so you know, people are going to be like, you don't know anything. Why are you doing this? They're going to tell you that this is a scam. Like, you need to make the choice for yourself.
Yeah.
Just know that it's coming. And I go, actually, funny story. My parents are like, there's no way you can do this. So we devised this plan where, and I was going home to see him that weekend in California. He wrote me a termination letter, and then he wrote me an offer letter underneath. So he was terminating my position as a contractor and offering me.
And you hadn't even started it as a contractor yet.
I had, like 2 or 3 weeks and basically just dove in head first and was like, all right, I saved up money till December. I don't have to work. Like, let's do this.
Right.
And just went with it. Cause it was like, and it was, I mean, I was like, well, it's an opportunity. Yeah. I'll take it. So I get back home and I tell my parents, like, I have some news for you guys. I need to tell you. And I'd already signed the contracts and like it was, you know, had already started ramping up. They were going to do a little news article on November 1st. So I had like a weekend to tell them before it came out. So I get in the car with my parents and like I have some
news. This is the trippiest story.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
It's so funny though.
This is insane. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I have something to tell you guys. You know, it's about the company. Yeah. So I hand them, and my mom's driving, my dad's in the passenger seat. So I hand him the termination letter. I'm like, okay, just read it for mom. Because I can't wait till I get home, right? And so he reads it and he's like, oh, it's okay. You know, it happens. You know, this is just your first opportunity.
Yeah.
You're going to find another one.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I'm like, yeah. You know, there's also this other letter that you might want to read. And so, and my mom's like, you know, and she's like, she's incredible. She's been blazing her own trail for years. She's like, I told you bit off a little more than you could chew, but it's okay. Like, it happens to all of us. You'll get there. I'm like, I think I'm going to be okay. you should read this other letter.
Yeah.
So my dad's reading. He's like, we would like to offer you the position of, oh my God, Linda. And she's like, what? What? I was like, what is it? And he's like, of CEO. And I'm videoing this in the back, just loving it. And my mom's like, you've got to be effing kidding me. Oh, my God. And so, they're like, is this what you want to do? And I just said, yeah, I'm going to go with it. So we've, you know, we ran out of funding. So I was bartending. I was, you know, kind of holding other odd jobs. But
you were being a founder.
Yeah. I was like, all right, like, let's do this. This is the story. So it's been incredible. I mean, I learned enough of the tech where I can talk to science people until they start asking super deep questions. And then I'm like, okay, well, that's our chief scientific officer. Go talk to him. But
and how many years has the company existed now?
Since March of 2015.
So two years.
Yeah. So
And when did you?
I came in November of 2015 or October.
And now are you still bartending?
No. Okay. We finally got fundraising. We won a bunch of pitch competitions. We competed in Rise of the Rest, and we started selling about a year ago. So we have customers all over the world. So I helped launch our first 5 different tests, and we're moving into our second phase, which is
performance. This is incredible.
It's crazy. So it's just like, I mean, it really shows you that there's nothing stopping you besides your, you know, how you view your obstacles.
It's pretty, you should write a book called How to Be a CEO When You're Not a CEO. Like,
how to fake your way to the top. Cause it really is. It's just like, I mean, there's been times where, you know, Paul and I are both, we work really
And Paul
well
is
together.
The founder.
He's the founder. And so his background.
Now, are you
genetics.
Now co-founder or are you CEO?
I'm CEO.
Okay.
So I have equity in the company, obviously, because it's just been a small group of us.
Right.
But we, you know, our offices are right next to each other. So we work together all the time. And there's been times where he looks at me, he's like, all right, like, you're the CEO. You make this decision. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's no one who's done this before, which makes it better because there's no manual, there's no rules, there's nothing I can
And there's
follow.
Also no comparison.
Yeah. It's like, all right, show me another horse genetic testing company that's doing discovery commercialization.
Right.
and then let me know how they're doing it. But there's no one doing it.
How so many people don't have the mindset to just take the leap and give it a shot when they don't have the experience. How are you able to time and time again just take that leap even when you're not fully educated or informed about everything that comes into it?
I don't know. I think I'm so used to, I was thinking this actually as I was driving over, I was like, I function really well under chaos.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, I try not to overthink things. I'm pretty impulsive. And so basically, you know, if I have an idea, it's like, well, the worst thing that can, to me, being stagnant is worse than trying and failing. Because I remember reading something that was talking about how really you should be scared, not scared, but just you should be more worried about succeeding than failing. Because right. So say you're, you know, at this level and you shoot for something and it doesn't work.
Right.
You're already, you know, you already understand things at that level that you just go back to. So things don't change.
Yeah.
Things stay the same. And to me, at the point I was at, I was like, where I'm at right now is so sucks that yeah. like anything is better than this.
Yeah.
So even if I shoot for way more than I can take on, but I get a little bit, you know, I gain a little bit of traction, I move a little bit, that's fine. So they talk about how you should be more worried about succeeding because that's when things change.
Yeah.
And, you know, your life, you have to find this new norm. And
right.
I've just loved that journey. It's the same as traveling. I mean, you're discovering new things and you're attacking new problems. And I've just always loved that. I can't sit on something for too long.
And then two more questions. One, what have you learned about being a CEO? What's the hardest thing? What's the surprisingly easiest thing?
Those are good questions. So I think really what I've learned is just you really, you know, sometimes you will not know the answer and you really do. You just have to act confident.
Right.
And I'm really big on listening to your gut. There's been a couple times where I've just been like, logically, I don't think this makes sense, but my gut's telling me that this is what we got to do and we got to do it. And it's been the right decision. So I think that is also the hardest thing, though, because you get in your own head.
Yeah.
So you try something and it doesn't work. And you're like, oh, my God, you know, it brings back all that, like, what am I doing here? Is this working? Is this a good idea?
Yeah.
And then being young and being a female in tech, especially with no background in tech, I'm really outgoing. I, you know, try to get along with everyone. And being a female doing that, you get this reputation of not being smart.
Totally.
So I think for me, it's really, for me, I think the hardest part is just calling people out when they say stuff that's totally inappropriate. I still have a problem with that. But yeah, it's just really, it's that combined with like really knowing that you know yourself better than anyone else
and
just
now,
not listening.
And now you love to travel.
Yeah.
How do you travel being a CEO? How do you keep that incorporated into your life? Or do you?
I do. I try to. I was just gone for 3 weeks. So the awesome thing is that Equiseek is mainly online. So I can do it from everywhere. So really, now that it's becoming more of a company and it's gaining all this traction and growing, obviously that's shifting. But I do customer service. I still manage the Twitter. Paul and I both team up on the Facebook. So it's really just a team thing. When I was in Europe, I was, you know, anytime I could call them, we were getting updates on everything. I think it's really just about effective communication.
Yeah.
And you can, if it's not a job where you have to physically be in a spot, you can do it from everywhere if you're communicating and everyone knows what they're expecting and...
Totally.
It's easy, yeah.
How can people stay in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Lexi Palmer, CEO. And
can you spell it out for everybody?
Yeah. Lexipalmer, CEO. And then my Instagram is super fun. That's more of like the cool traveling yeah. stuff. And so that's just Lexi Palmer, Lexipalmerrr, I think. And then I have a website, thegirlthatdid.com.
Thegirlthatdid.com.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
So I haven't done it yet, but I'm in the process of doing.
That's awesome.
So yeah, there's writing samples. I have a contact thing. You can see some of my writing.
Yeah.
Anything, I'm going to put this up there too. So all the news, link to Equiseek, all that fun
awesome.
Stuff.
Awesome. Dude, so. You're inspiring.
Thank you.
Like, I'm blown away by your story.
I'm happy to hear that.
I mean, essentially, if you put your mind to it, anyone has the capability to become a CEO.
And that's, I mean, that's all I'm saying is just, and that's actually what I get to go talk to kids about and
right.
talk to kids about going into STEM, which is a whole other awesome thing.
Right.
But, you know, that's the thing is like if the dits who no one thought would do anything can learn enough genetics to run a genetic testing company with no background in that or running a company. I mean, we've grown to a point that neither one of us expected to grow to, and it's just going to keep growing from here. And I mean, really, it's just getting out there and doing it every day.
100%.
That's it.
You're awesome. This is actually really cool. You're going to be okay. stoked. So there's a female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina, who hand makes these compass bracelets. So this is 2104. And okay. it's cork from Portugal. Have you been to Portugal?
No, I want to go.
You have to go.
So bad.
So they make cork. It looks like leather. It's mm-hmm. gender neutral. And so the idea is that the bracelet constantly moves on. So I give it to you as a woman in tech. And then you think of a woman in tech who inspires you and you give it to them. And then they give it to a woman in tech that inspires them. And you go to shareyourcompass.com. You add how you got it on there. Mm-hmm. And then the person that receives it adds the same thing. And then you can all connect with one another. So like someone 15 people down can like meet you. It's almost like this funny social networking kind of thing, right?
That is so cool.
So, that's 2104. Do you have someone in mind you think you're going to give it to? And here's the instructions.
Okay, cool.
Do you have someone in mind that you think you'll give it to?
Yeah, I have a couple ideas.
Can you share? Like, who do you think it will go to?
Actually, one of our interns, Kirsten, she's incredible. So she has helped us discover a couple different diseases.
Cool.
And she is like I think she's a junior or a senior at UNM.
That's perfect.
She's going to be a veterinarian, but she's already been on a huge paper about the snail genome, which is
amazing.
Really exciting. Yeah. So she's going to love this. And then actually Lisa Atkins is a huge, she's a huge helper in the community, but she started this thing called Girls Who Code.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So she does female focused coding classes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Want me to give you two? So you can give one to each?
That'd be awesome.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to go get another one. So you have 2125 to one of the girls. And then the other one to Lisa, right? So, so one of these, so we have 2104 and 2125 on shareyourcompass.com. And then those girls, let them know to a woman in tech who inspires them.
Yes.
And they got to give the bracelet on within 2 weeks.
Perfect.
So they're all within 2 weeks.
I love it.
Cool.
I love it so much.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. if you guys want to connect with more amazing people and more incredible women in tech, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group or tweet us at Women in Tech Show. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com. And just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.